Hey, good morning, everybody. How we doing? Good, good, good. Good to see you. Hey, it's warm here, finally, right? Still nasty out, but at least it's warm. Great to have you here. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're brand new, my name is Chad, and I'm the lead pastor here. And I think if we think about our lives, there are some pretty big challenges that that we probably have to think through, right? Like, do we want to get married? And if we want to get married, what's it like to find the right person to marry? There's another big challenge, trying to pick the right career. What's the career that I want to do? Or living here in Washington, D.C., what team do I pull for? Because they all stink, right? I mean, it's hard to root for teams, but you got to take that challenge and figure this out. I think, though, the biggest challenge we face in life is trying to teach your teenage kid how to drive. Can I get some amens on that one? Because I think that's a pretty big one. Like, there's nothing more stressful than handing your keys to your teenage kid and saying, hey, I'm going to go get in the passenger seat, and now I want you to drive. Because in those moments, we're trying to teach them everything, right? This is how you turn on the car. This is how you put it in gear. This is how you merge. This is how you use your turn signal. By the way, if you're from Maryland, that's that little lever on the left side of the steering wheel, right? Up for right, down for left. Okay, just want to help you guys out a little bit. Kind of seem to forget that. But the crazy part is, you take your kids out for a drive and you come back and you're exhausted. But you haven't done anything, right? But you really have. You've been yelling at the kid the whole time. Like, slow down, or watch out, they're getting ready to merge, or look out for that car. But there's physical pieces to this too. You're sitting in the passenger seat and you're holding on for dear life. And there's like this imaginary brake that you just keep pushing the whole time that your child is driving. Why is it that when we're teaching a teenager how to drive, why is it we feel this way? Well, it's because we aren't in control. Like, when we're in the driver's seat, we're pretty calm. Most of us are pretty calm when we're in the driver's seat. Some of us, I'm not so sure. But when someone else is driving, what do we want? Like, we want control. That anxiousness begins to take over, and we want to be the ones that are controlling the situation. But in all honesty, this isn't just something that we experience when it comes to trying to teach a teenager how to drive. I think this is something that we truly experience when it comes to our relationships. We want control. There's a great example of this in the Old Testament. We have Abraham and Sarah. God comes to Abraham and says, hey, Abraham, here's the deal. I've got these promises for you. One of these promises is I'm going to give you a son. And so Abraham and Sarah, they're waiting and waiting and waiting for God to send this son, and it doesn't seem to be happening. So Sarah's like, all right, I'm going to control the situation. I'm going to jump into this, and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this outcome come to fruition. And so we read about this in Genesis chapter 16. Starting with verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, God changes their names to Sarah and Abraham a little bit later, had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. Sarah's circumventing a couple of relationships here. The biggest one might be with God. God makes a promise. Sarah can't wait. And so what does Sarah do? She comes up with her own plan. Says, hey, this is how we're going to make this happen. But on the other hand, she's really damaging her human relationships, the relationship that she has with Abraham and Hagar. Well, what happens? Look at the rest of verse 2 through 3. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. I've talked about this before many times when I've read through this. Dudes, if this proposal ever comes to you, you always say no, okay? In fact, I was reading something this past week and said that the conflict in the Middle East would not be happening right now if Abraham had said no. I'm going to let you think through that one. Verse 4. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. So things don't go very well in this relationship, right? There's a lot of tension between Sarah and Abraham, and also with Hagar. Verse 6, Abram replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Why is Sarah making these decisions? She's making these decisions because she's trying to be in control of the situation. She's trying to control the relationship that she has with Abraham and with Hagar, and I think in some ways also with God. But this is what control does. Control makes us feel safe. It makes us feel needed, responsible, secure. It makes us feel like we're the ones steering the outcome within this relationship. But control doesn't produce love, okay? It produces resentment, problems, heartaches, anger, brokenness. And so today, as we finish this relationships series, we're going to talk about shifting from controlling our relationships to setting up healthy boundaries within them, all right? Now, before I continue on, let me give you two quick things I want to say. First, thank you for your encouragement in this. We've heard a lot of positive feedback on this series. We've also heard quite a bit of, like, hey, you left this out, you forgot this. Joel and I were talking this week. We could probably do a whole series on each week that we've talked through. This is very broad stroke. So you might be like, hey, you missed this, and we probably did. We acknowledge that. We're trying to hit this in kind of a broad stroke type setting here. The second thing is, we actually changed the series. Back in January, we had another series planned, and I was like, I feel like just from conversations that we were having, people here in church and outside church, like people really struggling in their relationships. So we should do a series on relationships. And I'm going to be honest with you for a second. I was really like, you guys have a lot of relationship problems and you need to deal with them, right? So we need to do this series. I didn't realize till we got in the series, like, no, this series is actually for me. And it was one of those like Holy Spirit moments, like, okay, you're doing this, you think it's for other people, but it's actually for you. I'm learning so much about myself in this. So this series is all for me. I hope you get something out of it, or have gotten something out of it through our time together. All right, shifting from control to boundaries. Let's start with defining control. Control is this. Control in relationships is the attempt to manage another person's choices, emotions, or outcomes in order to reduce my own discomfort or uncertainty. Like, we read that, and we're like, well, that sounds like Sarah. Like, this is who Sarah was and what she was trying to do. Now, let me maybe make this a little simpler in language that we would understand here in our DC area context. Control is when one person becomes the manager and the other person becomes the project. That maybe helps us understand it a little bit more, right? So we look at the relationship and we're like, hey, look what I'm doing. Look at how I'm helping them. Look at how the outcomes are different. Look how I'm managing their life, which is fascinating because most of us can't even control our inbox. And yet we think we have this supernatural ability to control the relationships that we have. But that's what control does. It's sitting there and it's whispering in our ears, if I'm not the one who's holding this together and keeping this together, then everything will fall apart. That's what control is. But you might be sitting there thinking, well, how do I know if I'm trying to control my relationships? Well, let me share with you four questions that I think are so important when it comes to understanding whether we're trying to play the manager in a relationship or whether we're trying to really fully engage in this relationship. So here's these four questions to ask yourself, right? Question number one, do I try to fix someone instead of listening to them? All right, do I jump to solutions before trying to understand where they're coming from? Or do I feel uncomfortable when someone around me is struggling? But you know, when we do this, when we ask these questions, part of it is understanding phrases that we tend to say. So if this is us, do you use phrases like, here's what you need to do? Or if you would just listen to me? It may mean that we're trying to fix this relationship instead of listening to them. There's one question asked. Second question. Do I pressure the other person instead of giving them freedom? Meaning, do I make people feel guilty for choosing differently than I would? Do I withdraw affection when they don't comply to my ways? Some familiar phrases that you may know, after everything I've done for you. Maybe you've heard that one before, said it before. Or here's another one, I guess I just won't say anything anymore. This is us pressuring the other person instead of giving them freedom. Here's another question. Do I try to influence other people through emotional manipulation instead of honest conversation? Right, when we're in this relationship and something's going on, there's conflict, do I sulk? Do I shut down? Do I use anger to force movement within the relationship? Do I express over-the-top disappointment? Like, if these are things that we do, then it might be that we're trying to emotionally manipulate that relationship instead of having an honest conversation. But here's a big one for many people who are Christians. Do I use God as my scapegoat for control? Right? Do I use Scripture to force behavior in someone else? Do I say that I'm speaking for God instead of trying to point people to Him? Again, familiar phrases. Hey, God told me you should. Or here's another one. If you were really trusting God, then this is what you would do. Sometimes us followers of Christ will use God as a manipulation tool to control people in our relationships. If you answered yes to any of these questions, there's high probability that you are trying to control relationships in your life. Now, here's the problem with control. We think it's love. Right? We think it's love. We think we're loving the other person by managing them. But what we're actually doing is we're preventing them from growing in their lives. We tell ourselves, hey, I'm helping them because I love them. But that's control speaking. Control is saying, I'm going to drive my car, but I'm also going to drive your car too. That's not love. What is love? Well, the best descriptor I know of love comes from a letter Paul writes to this church in Corinth. Paul becomes a follower of Christ. He becomes a pastor. He starts planting churches all throughout the Middle East and parts of Asia Minor. And so he plants this church in Corinth, which at that time was a pretty well-known city. And he writes this passage to the people there, the Christians in that church. And it's all about love. If you've never been to church before, you've probably heard this at a wedding. 1 Corinthians 13, here's what he says. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's love, right? That's what love looks like. That's what love looks like within the relationships that we have. But notice what Paul does not say, okay? He doesn't say love is about managing a relationship. He doesn't say love is about controlling someone else. Notice what he says. He says love does not demand its own way. And that's because control does not produce love. It produces resentment, dependency, emotional distance, rebellion, anger. And people don't feel loved when they feel like they're being controlled. But I want to help them, right? They need me right now. They're going through so much. I want to make sure I'm caring for them. That could be true. But we also need to understand what our limits should be and what we should actually be carrying within this relationship when it comes to doing the best that we can for this person that we say we know, we care, and we love, right? Which is great because Paul actually gives us some of those guidelines. He writes a letter to a group of Christians in Galatia, and it's the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And he really gives us some insights into relationships. He says this in Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. If we go back and we look at verse 2 here, Paul talks about how we should carry each other's burdens. That word burden there means this crushing weight. It means it's something so heavy that we can't carry it on our own. It's too hard to lift by ourselves. And so in relationships, these are hard times people face. These are the tough things that happen in people's lives. The loss of someone close to them. Maybe it's a diagnosis that comes back that's not positive. It could be the end of a marriage. Or they just got that email that says, hey, your services are no longer needed. Like those, that's crushing weight. And all of us get that. All of us experience that at some point in time in our life. These are the burdens that Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 6. He's like, help people with the things that are crushing them. Be there for them. Support them. Help them in those times. Carry those tough burdens. But if we move on down to verse 5, Paul uses another word. He uses this word load. And it's easy for us to think, well, burden and load, aren't those the same thing? Well, they're actually not here. This load that Paul uses, it's more like a personal backpack, okay? It's the stuff that we each carry on our own. These are our daily responsibilities we have. These are the decisions and the choices and the consequences of our life on a daily basis. And what does Paul say here? He's like, hey, let them carry their own backpack. Like, that's theirs to carry. But when we want to control the relationships we have in life, what do? We go and pick up and carry other people's backpacks that aren't ours to carry. And so what are we carrying? We're carrying their emotions. We're carrying their decisions, the consequences of those decisions. We're carrying their spiritual maturity, their personal growth. What we kind of do is we become like their spiritual Sherpas. If you're familiar with Sherpas, it's actually an ethnic group. I did not know this till doing research for this message, that's the name of an ethnic group, but that has stuck to be their title for the work that many of them done. Like, literally, they're created differently than most humans in the way they process oxygen. I'm not going to get into all the details there. But anyway, if you've ever watched, like, a documentary about people who are trying to climb the highest peaks in the world, like K2 or Mount Everest, you know that they hire Sherpas to go with them. Now, on a typical climb that maybe you and I are jumping in to go climb one of these high mountains somewhere, we could probably carry about 15 to 30 extra pounds with us, and that's it. But these Sherpas can carry anywhere from like 45 to 100 extra pounds. And this could be about 80 to 125% of their actual body weight, right? It's incredible what they are able to carry. Some of us are carrying our own loads. But then, like these Sherpas, we're also carrying the load, the backpacks of so many other people. We're carrying our spouse's backpack, our kid's backpack, the person we're dating, their backpack, extended family's backpacks, and coworkers' backpacks, and the people in our small groups' backpacks. And it's no wonder we are exhausted all the time because we were not created to carry everyone's backpack. And so many of those are not ours to carry. And so what are we doing? We're actually over-functioning in life. We're trying to do too much. We're trying to be all things to all people. But here's the crazy part. These people that we're in relationship with, they're not inviting us to help them climb Mount Everest, are they? I mean, they're just trying to get across the street to the local Starbucks to grab a coffee, and yet we feel like we've got to be there and be these spiritual Sherpas for them. We call this love. It's not love. It's actually us trying to control that person or control that relationship. And control doesn't help. Control brings harm. So how do we make sure that we're not overfunctioning? How do we make sure we're not trying to control these relationships? Because if we do, resentment's going to just set in, and it's going to be on both sides. Here's what we do. We set boundaries. Boundaries show that we love the other person. But boundaries also help us be healthy people ourselves, and I think that's so key in this. Here's what boundaries are. Let me define it this way. Boundaries are limits and clarity we put around our own choices, time, emotions, and responsibilities so relationships can stay healthy. A person that had incredible boundaries is a guy named Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, we find that he's been and asked to heal this guy. And so he touches this guy, heals the guy, and he tells the guy, he's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the temple, and I want you to show the religious leaders that you were healed. And I want you to tell them how this took place. But that's not exactly what this guy does. He actually ends up telling people in the town, in the community, about Jesus. And so we read this in Luke 5:15 and 16. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. If we look at this passage here, the news of what Jesus did with this man and how he healed him, it begins to spread. So the crowds begin to grow bigger and bigger. More people are coming up and they want healing. So there's kind of this momentum that is building right there for Jesus. And in a moment where Jesus could have kept working, he could have kept healing people, he could have kept helping people, he could have carried more and more backpacks. What does he choose to do? He follows his boundaries. What's his boundary? Well, look at the last part of that passage. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Now, I know it's a little strange coming out of there, like, well, how does this connect? Well, here's Luke who's actually telling us Jesus leaves everything that's happening around him. He leaves and goes to the wilderness so that he can spend time with God and he can spend time to pray. Now, here's what the key word is in this part of this passage. It's the word often. This means this wasn't something Jesus occasionally did. It's not something he just did this one time. It's not something he did only when he needed God to help him in some way. This was a part of his rhythms. This was a part of his life. He was intentional with this. Again, as it says here, it was often. In the midst of everything that's happening, in the midst of this momentum that's there, the request for him, as these crowds are gathering, as Jesus sees more and more needs from the people around him, now he could have easily controlled every situation, every connection, every relationship that was there, but he doesn't. And if you look at the life of Jesus, here's something you're going to notice. He doesn't heal everyone who needs it. He doesn't answer every request. He doesn't jump at every opportunity that is there. What does he do? He sets boundaries. And for him, the biggest boundary was he went and spent time with God in prayer. And it wasn't because he didn't love people. He loved people. He had this deep compassion for people. It's because he trusted God with the outcomes. Some of us feel guilty for setting boundaries with others. You know, people need me. I need to be accessible at all times. I need to help when asked. I need to control their emotions, their lives, their decisions. This is what they need for their life. And it feels like love, but it's not love. When we do this, this is all about control. And so when we set boundaries for ourselves in these relationships, it's us expressing our love to others. And I honestly think it's us looking more and more like Jesus. Because if Jesus didn't help every person, if Jesus didn't take care of every need, if Jesus didn't jump in every time he was asked, but he's setting boundaries, maybe that's the same thing you and I should do. Because the truth is, we can't help every person. We can't be there for every need that pops up. We can carry burdens. Paul says, hey, carry burdens. Be there in those tough times, in those hard times. Be present for people. That's when they need you. But boundaries say, I'm not going to carry your backpack with me all the time. And that protects our mental health, our physical health, our intimacy with God, and I think our intimacy with others. And so we're saying, hey, let's shift from where control says, I must secure the outcome. That was Sarah. Let's shift to setting the boundaries and saying, hey, I'm going to trust God with the outcome. And I think that's very much like Jesus. Well, how do we practically do this in our life? How do we shift from control to setting these boundaries, putting our trust in God and letting God take care of the outcomes? Let me share with you four things that we can do. These first two actually function back to back with each other. So here's the first thing I would say. Identify where you are overfunctioning in a relationship. It goes back to a little bit earlier. Whose backpack am I carrying that isn't mine? Or whose backpacks am I carrying that aren't mine? And it could be in your marriage. And it could be with your kids. And it could be with your coworkers. And it could be with your friends. But what relationships do you have with other people that you know you are overfunctioning in right now? Now, remember, I can help carry their burdens. And once again, like Paul said, That's what we're supposed to do in those tough times that happen, but I don't have to carry their backpack. That I can support someone without carrying them all the time. I can care for someone without controlling them all the time. So let people make their own decisions. Right? Let them live with the consequences that come from that. We don't have to rescue people every single time something goes wrong. And yet many times we think that's what we're supposed to do. It's because we're trying to control that relationship. So identify where you're overfunctioning in relationships that you have. Okay? Now once you do that, this second one here is a second step. Communicate one boundary this week in a relationship. In the relationships that you have, especially the ones that you're identifying as, hey, I'm overfunctioning here. This week, set a boundary in it. Here's what you don't do. Don't overexplain. This is what we like to do. We're like, I'm going to set a boundary. Well, let me explain to you why I'm setting this boundary. Like, don't do that, okay? Don't apologize. Hey, I'm really sorry. I'm setting it. Don't apologize. You're not trying to apologize for something you need to do. Just set that boundary. Be clear. Okay, I think I've heard before, clarity is kindness, right? We talk about that in leadership quite a bit. Clarity is kindness. Be clear, because clarity is kindness here as you set this boundary in this relationship. Now, understand, when we're talking about shifting from control to boundaries, so much of this is verbal. It's our words that are controlling. It's our words that set boundaries. So let me give you a few examples here that might help if you're trying to figure this out and what this might look like in your relationships. Here's the first one. Instead of using pressure, right? Maybe you've said this before. If you love me, then you would. You set a boundary. Hey, I care about you, but I can't say yes to that. Okay? Setting a boundary. Here's another one. Instead of fixing all the time, here's what you should do. That's what we tend to say. Setting a boundary would go, hey, would you like advice or would you like for someone to listen? Hey, gentlemen, let me talk to you a second. Let me read that one more time, okay? It's going to save your marriage potentially. Would you like advice or would you like for someone to listen? That's a lot there, but there's a lot of good stuff. All right, boundaries that can set. Here's another one. Instead of trying to emotionally manipulate someone, which is going to bring silence and guilt and withdrawal, you set the boundary. I want to talk to you about this when we're both calm. Or how about instead of rescuing someone all the time, hey, let me take care of that for you. That's what we'll say to someone. You set a boundary. Hey, I believe you can handle this, and I'm here for you if you need support. It's so important to understand these boundaries, they're not enclosed walls where we're saying, I'm never going to help in any way, shape, or form. It's actually got a gate on it, and we get to be the one who controls the gate. We get to be the one who opens the gate and closes the gate as we set these boundaries. Boundaries are saying, hey, I'm not comfortable with that, so here are my limits. That's all we're saying when we set these boundaries. And so as you look at the relationships you have that you feel like you're overfunctioning in, or you know you're overfunctioning in, you're trying to control that, take the time this week to just set one boundary that hopefully can help to get you to this place of a healthy relationship with someone else and even for yourself. All right? The third thing I would say is manage your emotions. Let me just stop a second and say, we talk about counseling a lot here at The Journey. We've been talking about emotions quite a bit in this series because when it comes to relationships, emotions are involved with it. Hey, don't hesitate to get counseling. We have a QR code in front of you through our app. If you go there, you can sign up for counseling. Please talk to us. Use us to get to counseling services that we work with. You can go to our Next Step table after we're done today. They would love to help you with this. This is such a big piece to helping us manage our emotions. Part of the reason that many of us struggle is we don't know how to manage our emotions. And we need someone to kind of professionally help us walk through that and to help us understand what it means to manage these emotions that I have. Because emotions are powerful. And the reality is when we're in tension within a relationship that we have with someone we know and care and we love a lot, like fear sets in. And when that fear is there, we want to take control. But we don't really know how to manage our own emotions, so how are we going to try to manage someone else's emotions? And so I highly recommend taking the time to jump in and have a counselor kind of walk you through that. Don't try to change someone else's behavior so you feel better. Manage your own emotions and reactions. I talked about this 2 weeks ago. We talked about pausing before reacting. Don't escalate the conflict that's there and take a step back when needed. It's all about learning to control and manage my own emotions. But then there's this last one, and this is actually the most important one. It's that every single day we say a prayer like this: God, help me trust you with outcomes and not try to control them myself. What does Jesus do? He withdraws to pray. What is he doing? He's actually managing, I think, his emotions and himself in those moments. I can't comprehend the incredible pressure Jesus was under. Like, he felt these expectations from all of these people around him to help him. And then he looks around and there's needs everywhere he looks. I mean, it'd be hard not to jump in and try to help every single person. And here's Jesus, who could have controlled every relationship that he has, but he doesn't. Instead of controlling it, he took time to step away and to spend time with God. When we move from control to boundaries, our relationships feel safe and honest and respectful. They're less resentful. We feel like we're growing, we're more mature. And again, I believe we're more Christ-like when we do this. But in the end, if we're all about control, we actually have a trust issue. And so putting something like prayer into practice is us saying, hey, I have this faith that God's actually the one in control. And there's no better way to do this than through prayer and inviting God into every relationship that we have in life. We're putting our trust in him, and we're saying, hey, I'm going to let go of control, God, because I trust that you know what's the best outcome here. And so invite God into your relationships. If I go back to teaching your teenager how to drive, there's going to become this day where you hand them the key and you're like, hey, you're on your own. It's your turn to go out and to drive yourself. And it's in those moments when you do that, again, we've done this with three kids, you realize you don't have control anymore. That you have fully given up control, that they're on their own as they jump in that car and they drive away. But it's also the moment where they grow, because you are releasing your control over them. And some of you here this morning, you are so exhausted. You're so exhausted because you haven't released control. The backpacks you're carrying, they're not yours to carry. You're managing people that God never asked you to manage. You're trying to secure outcomes that God never told you to secure. And your soul and your mind and your body are tired and worn out. So my challenge today, my invitation today, is to trust God deeper. And in that, what you're saying is, hey, God, I'm going to carry what's mine, but I'm going to love these people with all that I have. And God, I'm going to trust you with the outcome. And I'm not going to try to be you in this relationship. When we shift from control to boundaries, honestly, it changes our relationships for the better. Because boundaries are where my responsibility begins and ends. Boundaries protect from that love that we say we have turning into control. Boundaries let me love you without losing myself. And boundaries are where we're saying, I'm putting my faith and my trust in God. Because in the end, control is a trust issue, and boundaries are a faith practice. And so as we leave this morning, I want to leave you with this question: whose backpack are you carrying right now that isn't yours? And what I invite you to do today is I want you to gently set that down and to trust God with the outcome. And the reason is pretty simple, is because God sent Jesus to carry those loads, right? That Jesus was crucified and put on that cross to say, hey, whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life, I'm here to carry that for you. Trust in me. Follow me. Put your trust in God. And let God deal with the outcomes. As you love the burdens or through the burdens that people are carrying, that's part of what we are called to do. As we're present as needed, when there's loads that people are struggling with and dealing with. But through it all, we're just saying, hey, God, I'm going to trust you in this. And I'm going to get out of the way as I do all I can to love this person, to be in relationship with them. But I'm going to let you lead and guide through it.